The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Before we get started, let me do a couple of headlines here. As usual, there continue to be a lot of very strange things popping up, and I'm trying to stay on top of it for all of us, and myself included. The news will be posting shortly at rents.com. Take a look. It's all there. Let me just do a couple quick headlines here. Zuckerberg was interviewed. And after receiving a number of calls by left-wing communist liberals to shut down Donald Trump's Twitter and other social media accounts, said, no, we're not going to do that. The president should be able to access all online social media services. So Zuckerberg, well, I won't say he came through, but he did the right thing. Mitch McConnell says, get ready for Senate impeachment, the Senate trial, as soon as Thanksgiving. Now, I had seen a report earlier that there was some talk, I think it might have been McConnell, that they had hoped to draft articles of impeachment by Thanksgiving. Remember, we're only in an inquiry at this point. That inquiry could fold up at any time with a lack of substantial evidence, not enough to draft articles of impeachment against Trump. McConnell is saying, get ready for Senate impeachment as soon as Thanksgiving. Now, maybe that means it'll be dealt with and then just put on the shelf. I don't know. Another one here, interesting. Trump is now reversing the... what a clown. Yesterday, Pelosi said, we all need to pray for Donald's mental health. Well, today, he said, we need to pray for Pelosi's health. She's a very sick person. So it's a clown show, I'm telling you. It's a clown show. Here's another one. Whistleblower reveals that a UN-planned invasion by refugees into the U.S. is already underway. Now, this is that video that I have actually played live on this program and have been featuring it for a long time. If you go to the left-hand side of the page, look under columnists, look for Gary Holland and Patty Doyle. You'll see right under that heading this video. It's also going to be up in headlines again tonight. It's an interview, and you need to see it, with a woman who was working for the United Nations Refugee Resettlement Program until she found out what was really going on. And this is not just the Obama administration. This is the Trump administration. He can stop this at any time, but he will not. And when you see that video, if you haven't seen it, you will become enraged. I can guarantee it. Or you don't care about this country. It's really sickening. Last but not least, Ben Shapiro, that strange little fellow with the odd voice, is following us. Now, he said, and it made headlines today because he is a national Zionist figure, he said, now is the time for Hillary to step in and take the nomination. Well, Mr. Shapiro, we've been saying that, yours truly has, for 35 months that she was going to run again. More and more people now are seeing the obvious. This has been a setup from the beginning. It's going to be the political rematch of the century, and then some. So there you go. The call for Hillary now is beginning to start manifesting. There'll be more of them. Just watch and see. Okay, let's welcome back to these wonderful airways that fabulous entrepreneur, researcher, Admiral Harry Cooper, back from another fabulous trip to Europe in search of real World War II and post-World War II history. And we have a lot of pictures, so take a walk with us tonight with these wonderful pictures through history. Welcome back, Admiral Cooper.
Boy, that's going to be a tough act to follow, that build-up.
Not an act, just the truth.
Oh, okay, that's true. Hey, I gotta tell you this, totally unrelated. Somebody sent me a picture of Bill Clinton with his arm around Monica Lewinsky, and the caption was, at least Bill knew who his whistleblower was.
Oh, that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
There was another one with a guy getting out of his car with a shocked look on his face, and the first caption is, that sinking feeling you get when you think you've run over a dog, and then at the bottom it says, but then you find it was only a climate protester.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of those. There in England are end-of-the-world protesters.
Oh, yeah.
And, they've actually been banned.
Berlin also, I believe it was, they're marching around with the banners saying that the world is coming to an end. Holy cow.
Yeah. Armageddon, extermination, and all that. It's all wrapped up.
It's going to end within 10 years, except banks are still making 20, 30-year mortgages, so they don't think it's going to end.
Funniest thing. I wish they'd stretch them out to 50, then I could get my payments down a little bit better.
Okay. What did I say?
Nothing. How are you? How was the trip? You sound just on top of the world here.
Oh, yeah. The trip was awesome. We had a great group of people, and we saw some things on the tour that we hadn't seen before. And then, as you know, I stayed another week and met with some really awesome people there who have been digging into this history. I don't find any of these places by myself. We, as you know, we have members in 77 countries, so we've got a network built. And here in a section of Germany, and these are the last pictures on there, which we'll hit tomorrow, I'm sure. We're not going to get 60 or 70 pictures done today, and I don't expect to.
76.
It was 76. Okay, well, who's counting?
That's right.
My mind went numb loading all these things up. Holy smoke. And I've trimmed them down because I had hundreds on my disk, plus several of the other trip people sent disks. And one of our friends who led us to this secret place we'll talk about tomorrow, I just got a delivery a couple of hours ago from Oops, and it has three discs in there full of pictures. So, you know, thinning them down just to fit into two-hour shows was not easy.
No. We're going to be on tonight with Harry for a couple hours and have even more fun tomorrow night with the pictures we don't get through tonight, and maybe he'll even add some. We'll see how we do. So that's going to be fun. Now, for our listeners who may be new, Harry is usually on Friday nights, but he just got back and has so many pictures. I invited him to come on two nights in a row to do this because it really is fun and we learn a lot. So what was it about this trip after the formal part of it wound up, that 1 week, that you can share with us? Don't tell us anything. I'm not asking for any secret stuff here, but what kind of things were you looking into?
Yeah, you're right. When we talk about that, I'm going to be very slow and deliberate with my answers, because
just a generalization.
An overview here, right? Okay, let me pick my words carefully. After the Luftwaffe was pretty well swept out of the skies, 1943-44, when the bombing campaigns were going full tilt and had far less interference from the Luftwaffe and from ground fire, and Munich was getting hit pretty hard, all the files of the NSDAP, so-called Nazi Party, they were all there in the Brown House in Munich. All the files pertaining to the Nazi Party, the NSDAP, were moved out of Munich to a castle in Germany.
Okay, you're doing well. You're doing well.
Yeah. Somewhere in Germany where they were held. And we know Adolf Hitler did not commit suicide. Eva Braun did not commit suicide. And after the alleged suicide, three Fiesler Storch aircraft, these are little two-seaters, like similar to a Piper Cub, they landed in a field, and cars went out to pick them up, and they drove along this road to this castle, right past a lady who we will refer to right now as Frau Whatchamajigger.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Jim was starting to get faint there. Jim is my contact for that, and I'm not supposed to use Frau Whatchamajigger's last name.
No, it was a man. Harry's just pretending it was a woman. He's right past, clever.
Right past, within 3 feet of this person.
In cars, open cars.
So there's no question, it was Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
Went to this castle to retrieve documents, whatever, that were necessary for his trip to South America.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell that part because that's been in my books. And then because the alleged suicide was on the 30th of April, 1945, and this was on the 22nd of April, 1945, that he arrived there. Because then on the 23rd and 24th, the SS blew up this castle. Damn shame, it was a nice castle. And burned zillions of documents, and friends of people that I know over there, older people now, and some of them have passed on, they were picking up burned shreds of documents. One guy's uncle found a couple of Bormann's uniforms and photos of Hitler there.
Wow, this was an enormous stash of Third Reich paperwork, which now would be considered hard drives. I mean, this was the data, it sounds like.
Yeah, a lot of it was. But unfortunately, it was all blown up, burned up, and God knows where. If any shreds are left, nobody knows where.
Yeah.
But we do have eyewitness accounts that were passed to the next generation. I mean, we didn't get to talk to the people who were there because they've all passed on.
Yeah.
But to their next generation. And
Jump in here. Hold on a second. What Harry is presenting here is just a thumbnail sketch of an enormously important issue that proves without any question what he has been saying for 30 years, 25, 30
long,
years now.
Long time.
And that Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun did not die in the bunker. A double, one of Hitler's doubles, was apparently shot and dragged up and burned in that pit in the grounds above the bunker. He was a cousin, wasn't he, or something like that? A relative?
Yeah, one of his... Excuse me, caught me with a mouthful of tea there. One of his doubles was his cousin, Joseph Silip, S-I-L-I-P, and he was one or two centimeters taller or shorter than Hitler. I can't remember which, but he looked just like Hitler, and he came from the same section of Austria where Hitler came from, so he spoke with the same local dialect.
And if any of you find that odd, understand that it is commonly held that Churchill had four or five doubles.
And Roosevelt, some of his,
And some of Churchill's greatest radio speeches, they weren't him talking, somebody else. Who's to know?
Yeah.
So there you go.
I think that extends even on today. There were times you'd be looking at, for instance, Barack Obama. And in some, when he's making speeches, sometimes he had a lighter complexion than others. And sometimes he had silver gray hair, and other times it was brown. It kept changing back and forth. I'm not saying Obama had doubles. I really don't give a damn about Barack Obama. But they all did. Roosevelt, for instance, people could see him in the Rose Garden when, in fact, he was really in, I think this was at the Tehran conference or maybe in the Yalta conference. I can't remember which. But he was actually overseas talking with Stalin and Churchill.
Selling us all out is what he was doing.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, Roosevelt was
he was a traitor.
He was a traitor to Churchill.
To America.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Moving along.
Sorry for you. Yeah. Well, this
now,
is
if
good.
If I point out the fact that he was a Democrat, you're going to lose half your audience.
Well, JFK was a Democrat. Democrat used to mean something entirely different than it does now. Now it means communist,
right.
Marxist,
Bolshevik. JFK, if he hadn't
Bolshevik.
Been killed, would have been an excellent president. But, yeah.
That's right.
I think the Communist Party has taken over the Democrats. It ain't the Mayor Daley Democrats, that's for sure.
No, of course. We are now in the hands of international Bolshevik communism. Sorry if you don't like that. Don't listen. That's the truth. And this has been going on since before World War II, all during the FDR administration. We were drowning in communists. Very few people knew about it then. Harry Hopkins, look it all up. And then read Major Jordan's diaries, followed Joseph McCarthy. He was not a madman. He was a hero. He knew communism was trying to do to America in the 40s and 50s what it tried to do to Germany in the late 20s and early 30s, okay?
Right. Just after the Bolshevik Revolution, yep.
There you go. All right, so Harry's got some material that he will be presenting in due course, and we look forward to that.
It's going to be one hell of a book.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, with that other item that you're working on, inclusive with this new data, what a stunning book. Oh, my.
Yeah, like I say, I'm not the great researcher. I don't find all this stuff myself. We have people all around the world that give me this data up front. Then I go there to wherever it is, and I meet the people. I take the pictures. I do the interviews. And we've got an interview coming up in a few weeks in South America that I'm not going to mention who I'm talking to because I don't want to rock his boat. But that's how we get all this done. Other people, and I won't mention names from that hunting Hitler farce, not necessarily him, but there are other people who do their research in a library. They read everybody else's works on a specific
they do
topic.
Their research with Google search engines and they steal and they copy it. It's, you know what that's called? There's a name for it. When you
plagiarism?
That used to be the direct word. Now it's called derivative research.
Okay. That's clever. Derivative research.
Yes. It's theft, plagiarism. But they've got new. Yes, it's derivative. It's derivative of what? Derivative of this body of work over here. Well, who wrote that? Did you write? No, I didn't write it. But it's copied
but I read
verbatim.
It and studied it.
And they rewrite it. You can run it through software now, text, and it will actually rewrite the text enough to where it's allegedly not identifiable as having been stolen from a source. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised because I'm finding, too, it used to be you could not copy or modify anything in PDF. Well.
Right. Guess again.
Yeah, I had to take one last guzzle of my tea before I put the cup in the sink. There's programs you can just go to, click, 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 bang, zoom, and the whole thing is transferred into a Word document that you can work with.
Of course.
I'm doing that with our friend Clark McClellan. All his stuff is in PDF, and he's given me permission to go ahead and publish his books. Then he's got a ton more stuff coming that's never been seen before. And the stuff I got originally through you, that he sent to you, you sent to me, that was all PDF. And zingo bingo, you push a button, suddenly it's in Word format that you can work with.
Of course. Funniest thing, I'm glad he gave you permission to do that. He gave me the same permission to do that.
But okay.
You're going to get it done, so whatever.
Yeah, I got nothing else to do in my spare time.
Of course not. Of course
I
not.
Waste at least 3 hours a day sleeping.
That's disgusting to hear.
I know it.
Slovenly does it get?
As you know, I wake up about 3 in the morning. The last few days it's been 2 in the morning to get to work because I got to put the finishing touches on my Germany and Austria tour that just ended, a week ago?
Yeah.
1 week ago, I got home. As a matter of fact, right about this hour, after flying for being in airports and airplanes for 30 hours, fell into bed. I was up at 2 o'clock in the morning Friday, starting on my recap and my films. We've got film clips, too.
Nice.
That poor Megan, I'm having to flog her to post them.
No child abuse. No child. Hold on. We have to take a break. Just a second.
Okay, sell some stuff.
We'll come right. Well, I hope people will avail themselves of these really wonderful products. They work.
I'm using some of them. You send them to me, and I'm using them.
You bet. All right. We'll be right back. Hold on. Load up those pictures and let's get on the plane with Admiral Cooper and head on over to Europe and see what we're going to see. Look right under Harry's name in guests and you'll see photos you can't miss. Oh, and look at that new piece of art with Congressman Schiff from David Deese.
I love that. Schiff for brains. Yep. Clown. What an absolute clown.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he's even human. I think he's one of them Disney automatrons.
Could well be. By the way, speaking of impeachment and Schiff, people don't know this, but Jason Chavez revealed today that Pelosi has already held 3 impeachment votes in the House. And there won't be a 4th because the first 3 failed so miserably.
Yeah.
So it ain't going to happen.
He's an ass kicker. I like that guy.
Yeah. Well, I've been telling people I don't think there's going to be an impeachment. They're just going to close this up, say the inquiry didn't produce enough solid evidence. But look, you got The vote in the House to reject one of the impeachment resolutions was 364 to 58. It's not going to be an impeachment.
Kind of lopsided.
Yeah. Not going to happen. So
even
anyhow,
if
people have been
Trump. They're not going to convict him in the Senate.
No, not going to happen. Remember, they got to bring articles of impeachment together. Then they got to go, and then it ends up in the Senate. And I mean, if worse came to worse, Pence would pardon him anyway. So
the thing is, I don't think they really expect to impeach him at all. All they want to do is just keep.
They're hassling him.
Keep hassling him. It's like a giant animal, like a water buffalo or something, with a bunch of hyenas yapping at its heels to try to just defuse everything he's trying to do. That's the way I see these people like Pelosi and Schiff and that jackass Schumer. They're a bunch of jackals.
Yeah.
Not even worth that.
No, they're professional, corrupt politicians, and worse, far worse.
Yep. Ditto
so
bad.
It ain't going to happen. All right. Let's load up our pictures, our photo gallery. And there are a lot of them there. Mine is being a little obstinate at the moment. Now remember, these are all what they call thumbnail sketches. They're small thumbnail photos. Click on them and they will magically enlarge. All right? Okay. So let's open the first, speaking of enlarging, let's open the first photo.
We need a trumpet fanfare.
Yeah, never mind. That's Harry Cooper on the left, isn't it? And
no, that's Tamara on the left. I'm the one.
I was trying to give you an out. All right.
Okay.
Anyway, why?
She was
he's always got his arm around very, very attractive women, and it's just I think that right arm is just a magnet. What do they call it? I don't use this language. A babe magnet. Harry's right arm?
That and my like torch red Corvette.
That too. All right. Well, anyway, it looks like a nice waitress. A fun time was had by all.
Yeah, this was in Nuremberg. And her name, we would say Tamara. She pronounced it Tamara. Mm-hmm. And it's very friendly. She latched on to me. Okay, I'll accept
that. I can see her right arm grabbing you.
No, it's her left arm.
No, I see her right arm hanging limply at her side. Right arm.
That's
closest
the way it
to us.
To you. Right. But her left arm is around behind me.
A likely story. Prove it, Cooper.
Nice, very nice.
Prove
girl.
It. Yeah. No, you always get along well with the. You're a good tipper, right? Charming.
Is that what it is?
Yes. Yes.
Be nice so this, now, because two of my favorite waitresses are listening in right now, so we'll do a shout-out for Katie and Emma at Angelo's Pizzeria.
Very nice. Well, no.
Katie's 12-year-old son is a history nut, and he collects rocks from all over the place, so I brought back some rocks from various places over here and did a little write-up on each one of them for his collection.
Nice. So,
Hey, the kid's interested in history. What's wrong with that? And Katie and Emma are both pretty much German, and they want to learn this history, too. So if you guys are listening, let me know. If you're not listening, there goes your tip next time around.
No. Harry is, just a fun guy. People, you light up a room, okay? So you light up the restaurant. What did you have to eat in the restaurant there? What kind of dinner was it? Where was it? A sausage place? What was it?
No, I had Schweinebraten, which is pork that's been marinated in whatever spices. And it's really good. And it comes with a lot of kind of a light gravy. You can't get a bad meal in Germany or Austria. You just can't get a bad meal.
Right.
So there I had Schweinebraten.
Okay. What was the name of the restaurant, Harry?
It's about a 15-syllable long thing. It the Rathaus Bratskeller or something like that. Rathaus, R-A-T-H-A-U-S, means the city hall. And this was the Bratskeller right near the city hall.
Got it. Okay, very good. All right, picture number two. Lots of hand carving. What is this?
Yeah, this is inside one of the cathedrals. I think it's St. Lawrence. They've got magnificent churches over there, you know, three times older than our whole country. And these were supposed to be the godless Nazis during the war. You know, you got to make your enemy out to seem like a horrible person.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, they're just normal patriotic kids joined their military like I was when I joined the Air Force at age 18.
And if you don't believe that, read a little bit about General George Patton, our greatest general. And
he was a great
what
guy.
His conclusions were at the end of the war.
All right,
I'll say no more.
So that was inside St. Lawrence. And then the next one is just a nice picture there in Nuremberg crossing the river into the old section. It's just picturesque.
Which river is that?
I don't know. I go there and I don't know. I've only been there about 20 times in Nuremberg. It's a beautiful city, but I don't know the name of the river. I'm sure I'll get emails pretty quick about that.
Then it's the Nuremberg River. I know.
Oh, okay.
All right.
It's not the Mississippi.
No, nor the Mississippi. Next up, we have a knockout chandelier. What's the deal with that?
Right. This was the old city hall in Nuremberg, and this place had been used for peace-type banquets centuries ago, when two warring factions would finally stop fighting, and they'd sign treaties. They'd come into this room and have feasts, etc.
You mean hundreds of years ago?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That building is hundreds of years old.
Well, yes and no. The walls are. Everything else, except for the chandeliers, was destroyed during the bombing of Nuremberg in World War II. They saw that the planes were getting closer and closer with each raid. So they pulled down these chandeliers and put them in safe storage, probably underground. But the roof was destroyed, the inside of the walls were burnt to a crisp, and it's only been recently that this building has been restored to what it looked like before the bombing, and they brought back these old chandeliers. Those old chandeliers are older than our country.
Well, they must have been candle chandeliers in the beginning.
That's exactly right, and as in the old days, they were not fixed on a support from the ceiling, they were on a rope. Mm-hmm. So you could lower them down, light all the candles, and then hoist them back up into the ceiling again. There's one more chandelier, but that's behind where I was standing for this shot. And different doors. The one door that you can see here, that's where the Lord Mayor comes in. Then the next door, which you can barely see part of it on the left, that's where the City Council comes in. Then there's another door further to the left where important people come in. Then there's one all the way at the left where common folks like me go in the door. And Hitler came to give a speech one time. He had to go in the commoner's door because he was not part of the city council. He was not the mayor, etc.
He gave a speech in that building.
Yeah. I think before the war, when he was coming to power.
When he was trying to throw the communists out is what he was doing.
Exactly.
For a long time. And he did it.
Exactly. Yeah.
How do I get one of those chandeliers?
I think you have to come up with a ton of money. You're still
having
trouble getting your table.
I'm working. No. I'll tell you where we are with that. No need. I'll tell you. I'll call you after the program.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, moving along.
Number five.
We're deep underground in the city of Nuremberg when the bombing was getting... Say again?
How deep?
Yeah. Oh, not all that deep. Probably 10 meters, maybe.
30 feet.
33, 34, something like that, yeah.
Okay.
This was when the bombing campaign was really starting to get to Nuremberg. They had to build underground shelters for the people, and this was one of them. You cannot just go into these underground shelters anymore. The big sign on the door says Eingangsverboten, which, you know, means shark hunters are welcome here. But this is closed and abandoned. Then you look at number six as well.
It's amazing what they did. They worked around the clock, 24 hours a day, excavating, building, pouring concrete, trying to make their cities safe for the residents, because the Allied bombing raid had, by 42, 43, had virtually nothing to do with bombing military installations, because the military installations were hidden, they were underground, under mountains. All they could do was try to kill the German people, which is what they did.
Bomber Harris, especially, the RAF bomber command guy, he was... I'm sure he's roasting away in hell right now, along with
Eisenhower, Churchill, FDR, Stalin, Lenin, and you can go on and on. And for those of you new who may be FDR fans who don't understand what we're talking about, there's no way to bring you up to speed on this quickly.
Yeah,
you're going to have to do some reading.
It was all pretty much orchestrated, as we found, you know, as we're finding out now. But anyhow, after
you
the
see
war
that,
was over,
you, yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, that case in that box in photo five underground with NRK-98 on inscribed on the end of it. That box is shaped like an upright piano would be shaped.
Okay, I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, but I mean, what if it was a piano? Could be. I mean, that's a piano-shaped box.
Whatever it is, it's going to be there forever, because they're not, nothing's coming in or going out from now on. After the war was over, and there were virtually no homes left in Nuremberg, as in many cities, they were blasted flat, this place was, this bunker, which was built to house, I think, like 3,000 people in a bombing raid, was turned into a hotel of sorts for people until they got their wheels back under them and got a house built, got a job, etc. And because they wanted to move out of there fairly quickly, the sanitation conditions were not the best, and who wants to live their life, you know, in a gigantic bunker underground. So, but number six shows the bathroom facilities in that bunker. And like I say, it's not open to anybody. It had been abandoned by the city about 5 or 6 years ago. And some brilliant guy came up with the idea that they were going to fill it in with sand so that, well, for whatever reason, they were going to fill it with sand to strengthen the ceiling. But I'm not even an engineer. I could see right off the bat there ain't no way you're going to fill it in with sand, because the sand is going to keep compacting, and you're going to have 6, 8, 12 inches of gap. So you're just wasting a lot of sand.
So
all they've done now is just shut everything off, and nobody can go down there. The lights are still, I mean, you can turn the lights on. They're not on all the time, but they've got electric power down there. You can turn on the lights, and it's just...
How many people, Harry, how many people could live down there, do you think?
Oh, after they rented, after the war?
No, I really don't know. During the war. How many, during the war?
During the war, weren't living...
A couple hundred?
Well, they weren't living down there during the war. They were just scrambled down here to stay out of the bombing and
bombing.
Go up. They could take 2,000 or 3,000 people in there. It was a huge place.
Oh, so there? What is it, like a large room or just lots of smaller areas?
One gigantic room about the size of a football field.
Where's the picture of that?
How do you take a picture of that?
I want to see that big room. All right,
okay.
Next time.
It might be in our films. I don't know. I have to look at our films.
No, I get the idea of a huge, like an amphitheater, auditorium room.
That's
down
exactly
there.
What it was like. Just one gigundo big room with a whole lot of posts holding up the roof.
Wow. It's just amazing. All right. Number seven.
Number seven.
It's a very elegant looking building. What do we have here?
We have a restaurant that was open for business about 70 years before Christopher Columbus left to find the New World. It started in 1419, and it's called Zum Goldener Stern, from the Golden Star. And they only serve one thing, Nürnberger sausages.
Uh-huh.
And these are little sausages about the size of your little finger. They're extremely rich, and they're tiny little things, and you figure, man, I'm going to need a bunch of these. They come in multiples of 6 or 10, and I have trouble finishing 6 of them because they're so rich. And we have a contest every year when we go there. I throw down the gauntlet. Anybody who can top the Shark Hunter's record, I'll pay for their dinner. And the record now has been held for about 10 years by a big guy named Steve Rhea, who's an iron worker. And he ate 42 of these little things and then finished it off with a huge, big ice cream sundae with whipped cream. Nobody's come close since.
How little are these sausages? Like, are they the size of your little finger, the size of your thumb?
They're about the size of your pinky finger.
Really?
They're very tiny.
And they're so rich that you just can't tolerate that many of them.
That's right. Your stomach says, wait a minute, we've had it. Plus, they've also got really great German potato salad.
And I assume lots of ketchup.
No, you don't put ketchup on them. You put mustard.
Well, I would.
Okay, can have ketchup if you want, but I don't.
No, look at that building. That's, you see the year?
1419, yeah.
That's not the address. That's the year the building was opened.
That's right. And when you go in there, you have to duck because it was built for people that were 5'2" or 5'3" back in those days. So
they were little, yeah.
Yeah, and one of our guys with us this time, we call him Little John. His name is John, okay? And he's 6'4", weighs over 300 pounds. He's a prison guard. You know, that poor guy had to walk way bent over.
Then once you're in, you can stand up.
Yeah.
Okay. It's still low.
You can stand up. Yeah, you can stand up, but you got to watch the beams when you're walking.
Uh-huh. Huh. Yeah, all right. Number eight.
Ah, yes. This is a museum that our friend Michael runs over there.
And my friend and your friend, Michael, that one?
No, different Michael.
Oh, okay.
Different Michael. I spoke to the one you're talking about. I can update you on that after we get off the air. This is Michael. He's the assistant to the mayor in Nuremberg. He just was promoted to colonel in their army. Mm-hmm. And this is a bomb shelter that he's turned into a museum, military museum. All of German military from the early days up to modern day. And at the entrance, it says off limits to all Allied personnel. And that was after World War II ended. And this was a bomb shelter built like a silo, a tall tower with like 1.5 meter thick walls, which makes it about 4.5-5 feet thick. And a pointed roof, so no bomb could make a direct hit. But after the war, they turned this into a rehab location for what in Russia is called the night butterflies, working girls, prostitutes.
Oh,
they put them in there to rehabilitate them.
What does that mean?
Well, to where they're not being prostitutes.
Uh-huh.
So no Allied personnel were allowed in there.
I see. All right.
Killjoys. Right.
Uh-huh. Okay. Very good. Interesting. Those, by the way, those round silo-looking shelters, I guess, were not uncommon in Germany. They had those huge flak towers that were round in Berlin with 88s on them, those big, tall, round buildings.
Yeah, there's still three left in Germany. One's Berlin, one's Hamburg, and I can't remember where the third one is.
Mm-hmm. They're remarkable buildings.
We'll be going to the one in Berlin next year. Mm-hmm. So if any of your listeners want information on our tours next year, just send an email to sharkhunters@earthlink.net and say you heard us on the show and you want information, and we'll send it to you. We're gonna be back in southern Germany and Austria. We're also gonna be in northern Germany, and we're gonna be in Berlin and over to Poland.
Terrific.
Yeah.
All right, well, so you all have a chance to go absorb some of this real history next year. We will be back in just a few minutes and carry on with our photos. What we don't get to tonight, we're going to finish up tomorrow night with Harry. So two nights with the Admiral, and we'll be right back. Hang on.